Well, good morning. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verses 18. This is a happy moment, yet also a sad moment, because this is the last sermon on the book of Ephesians. It's been a really fun time. It's been covering this probably around 5 months to go through this book. And so it's exciting that we get to turn the page, but also to say goodbye to this good epistle. And so our last section of the book of Ephesians is where Paul is reminding and encouraging the people of Ephesus to live out everything that he has taught them through this letter and bathing it in prayer. And I guess the question that is striking at us here is, why is Paul closing this letter with his last encouragement to pray? Why is he asking the Ephesians to pray? And that is one of our two questions. Why is he ending with prayer, and what are the things that he wants us to do in prayer? But before we can answer those questions, we need to understand the whole of Ephesians. And so a quick recap, Paul was writing a letter to encourage the Ephesians to root themselves in their identity in Christ because they are now Christians. And then he wants to encourage them to live out that identity by being faithful followers of Christ. And so you have these two big sections of this is who you are in Christ, and you ought to live like Christ. And so he starts with chapter 1 of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, working all together for the benefits of our salvation. That he talks in chapter 2 that without the help and love of God, that we would be dead people walking, that we would be dead in our trespasses, yet also that we would be alienated from God's covenants because they and us were Gentiles. And so Paul reiterates all these things in chapter 3 with a prayer of praise of, I hope you guys understand the beauty of what God has done for you. And then he starts in chapter 4 where he makes that shift of how you ought to live like Christ. And he starts out with a community that we ought to live in love and unity with one another. That we ought to give forbearance amongst Christians and not hold a grudge. And then Paul shifts gears even more and he talks about walking in love with being a person of grace and compassion. That we ought to live lives of grace and compassion in our marriages. With husbands and wives, that we ought to live our lives with grace and compassion with our children and parents. And he even goes down to how we ought to live our lives with grace and compassion as masters and slaves. And if you are struggling with that concept, please re-listen to that sermon where it talks about slavery in the Bible. And then Paul wraps up the whole letter with putting on the armor of God, fighting the good fight, the battle. And so here we are, closing with the letter with prayer. And so the question that we need to ask is, why is he closing with prayer, and what does he want us to do in prayer? And so before we can do that, let us read the scriptures and then pray. Just a second. Oh, it's up there. There we go. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are God, that you are good. We thank you, Father, that we trust in you and that we love you, Father. Help us, dear Lord, to unpack this scripture and to understand it, that we may rest in it. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So why is he closing with prayer? That is the question. And for us to understand that, we need to understand that prayer is not the last element of the armor of God as we've been unpacking over the last 6 weeks. But there are many reasons why we can see that in the text. But one of the main reasons is Paul is not using the word having or take up with prayer as he does with all the other elements of the armor. And however, prayer is a very vital aspect to putting on the armor because prayer is the very means that we get the armor of God on. And what do I mean by that? Well, what is prayer? Well, we could say prayer is communing with God, it's talking to God. But what is the purpose of prayer? Why do we talk to God? Well, the purpose of prayer is two things, that we may enjoy God, but also that we may be strengthened on Him and see a reliance and dependence upon Him because we need Him. And so Christianity is this complete dependence upon God, is this complete dependence upon our salvation, is it's complete dependence on everything, our holiness, the sanctification, to even advancing God's kingdom down to glorification when we have glorified bodies and we are before God. It's all dependent upon Him. And that's why Paul is saying, pray, Christian. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and pray, thank you, Lord, for giving me righteousness. Help me rest in your righteousness. And pray, Christian, that you would take on the belt of truth and rest in and trust and believe that all the doctrinal things, even the difficult mystery things that you can't understand, God has got it. And pray, Christian, as you pick up the shield of faith and the shoes of the gospel of peace, and you can say, Lord, I am trusting you for a reason, that I'm trusting you that you will send me off to battle and keep me. I pray, Christian, that you could reach towards your helmet and your sword and remind yourself that God is with you and He will not forsake you, that He is bringing you into the promised land, into glory, and He will not leave you. That's why Paul is ending with prayer, because he wants us to make the connection to, he's making the connections to Ephesians that you and I were saved by grace. Ephesians 2:8. That you and I are to fight by grace. That you and I ought to live by grace. That we are dependent upon grace. And Paul points to us and points to the Holy Spirit. And we see this in verse 18. Look at verse 18. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit. And he's not just saying pray, but he's saying pray in the Spirit. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much. He's kind of the forgotten God. We really love to talk about God the Father, how strong and awesome and mighty is He. We really love to talk about Jesus because without Him, we would not have salvation. However, the Holy Spirit's kind of on the purview. But I want you to know that Paul is saying this, and the gospel, the truth, everything in Scripture, even in Ephesians 1, 1 through 14, the Holy Spirit is holding all things together. Remember in Ephesians 1 where it talks about how God the Father wills and plans and decrees our salvation. It's Christ who acquires and guarantees our salvation, but it is the Holy Spirit that actually applies all these benefits in our lives. Think of it this way, imagine a very beautiful brick building, this gorgeous brick building, and as for analogy, that is us, that is the church, that is us as individual Christians, this beautiful brick building. And God the Father is the master planner. He is the designer that has decreed and made the blueprints of this beautiful house. That it is Christ who is the substance of our salvation. He is the one that acquired our salvation and our righteousness. And He is like the bricks and the structure. However, it is the Holy Spirit that is a master builder that's taking the design, is taking the substance of our salvation, and He's putting everything together. He is holding and sustaining everything together. Without the Holy Spirit, we would be not where we're at today. that we even see it in the Gospels when it talks about how Christ was empowered with the Spirit above measure, that Jesus, fully God but also fully man, needed the Holy Spirit. That Jesus said in John 14, that is better that I go, that I go up to heaven so you can have the Helper, so you can have the Holy Spirit. Now think of that. That Jesus is saying, it would be better for me, disciples, to not be with you every day so you can have the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is saying and imploring the Ephesians and imploring you that the Holy Spirit is so important, that in our prayers we commune with God, that the Spirit is reviving us, freshening our lives and our faith, keeping us connected to Him. He is literally the glue that keeps all of our benefits together in Christ. This reminds me of a conversation that I had with my wife a couple days ago. She was telling me about a revival in Asbury College, and one of the reasons why it was special to her is because she was a student there for a year, and she was in the chapel where this revival is going on. And what's so interesting about this revival on February 8th is it's not like what we think of, like, intense feelings and emotions, but it's this gentle worship of prayer, reflection on the Bible, that these students are coming in droves, that they're listening to God, they're praying to God, and they're trying to understand what He has called them to. And as Presbyterians, and including myself, we tend to shy away from mystical, mysterious things. We pride ourselves in logic and reasoning. And I would be prone to think that this revival is a bunch of bunk. However, I've seen similar things of respectable Presbyterians that have claimed similar experiences. For instance, a great well-known preacher, Martin Lloyd-Jones, in a prayer meeting said a similar thing. And this is what he says, that two public prayer meetings in which I was present when this was experienced is an unusual manner. I shall never forget it. As long as I live, I remember a prayer meeting starting at night at 7:15 in the church in South Wales. Hot summer evenings on a Monday night, two men took part in prayer. All right, it was praying. Yes, I grant you that. Then a man got up, and whom we all know so well, somewhat unimportant man, not gifted man by any means, and the man whose prayers could be stilted and formal and dry and discouraging. And he began to pray, and suddenly something happened to him. The whole man was transformed. His voice deepened, and he began to pour out one of the most eloquent things I've ever heard in my whole life. And he lifted up the whole place, myself included, every one of us who were there in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, and on, and it went on after another. Men who heard, women who made heard, praying, and praying as I never heard before. A language thought everything perfect, warmth, freedom, liberty, and on. And it went on till 10 minutes to 10. We had forgotten time, of course, and we were in the realm of the Spirit. We were in eternity. Time didn't matter. Nothing mattered. You see, that's what we get revivals from. Thank God, I say. I know that kind of thing twice, but my friends, that's the thing the apostle here is exhorting us to. Formal prayers are not enough with the world and the church as they are today. We need this praying in the Spirit. We need to lay hold of God and use those expressive, dramatic words of the prophet Isaiah. Lay hold of Him, and He will never lay hold of him unless you are in the Spirit. And so I think Martin Lloyd-Jones has something great here, that this great Presbyterian preacher is onto something that Paul is pointing to as a reminder that when you are praying, there is actually someone on the other side listening. That you are praying to a person that is rational, a person that is moral, that a person that is volitional can make decisions. And there's this thing that there's a mystical interaction that's going on. However, we can get stagnant in our prayers. We can have these canned phrases that we say and do before we eat a meal or when we need to pray for someone. However, know that you're missing out when you pray like that, when you pray this mechanical, like a button you push type prayers. That prayer is not like a lever, a mechanical object that you just pull and the results happen. No. No. Prayer is more like dancing. It's wrapped up and focused in your partner. It's enjoying the experience as you interact with one another. That is prayer. And so Paul has really emphasized prayer and why we should be praying, because prayer is the very thing that puts on the armor, but it's the very thing that the Holy Spirit enables us to accomplish anything. But we come to our second point, and that is asking, what is Paul asking us to do in prayer in the text? And we see numerous commands in the text that he gives us, roughly six commands, where he says that we ought to pray at all times, that we ought to pray in the Spirit and being empowered as he guides us, that we see him encouraging us to pray diligently, that we ought to pray with alertness and keep alert and vigilant. These are all good encouragements and commands on prayer, but also I want us to look at two important things that he tells us to pray. And we see this where he says, pray for all the saints. Pray for all the saints. And why is Paul focusing for all the saints? Well, it's really obvious that your brothers and your sisters in Christ can be discouraged, that they need to fight and press on, that you're not just in the fight, they are in the fight with you. And their faith can become stagnant, and so you are on the battlefield praying the armor of God on, resting in what Christ has done. But may you also pray for your fellow saints, that you would pray that they would put the armor of God on, because they are engaging in the same fight you are. This is the reason why we need corporate worship. This is why we need to come to corporate worship, because we are reminding ourselves that we are not alone, that we need each other. That's why Paul in chapter 4 spends a whole chapter on unity and loving one another and forbearance, because the life of a Christian is a lonely road. If we don't have the church around us picking us up, because we are fighting not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and darkness of this world. And so Paul is saying, pray diligently, pray in the Spirit, but pray for your fellow brothers and sisters. That we have this great reminder that every Wednesday at 1:30, we have a prayer group, that there are saints praying for all of you. In this prayer bulletin that we have, that saints are praying over what's going on in our church and the people in our church. We have also, what I'm saying, this prayer bulletin, that you can look at this prayer bulletin and pray for your people. And I just want you to imagine if a couple people called up individuals on this prayer bulletin, the person of the week, the regular attenders of the week, and you called them, a couple people called them and said, hey, brother, hey, sister, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? I wonder what impact that would happen on that person to know that this isn't just a paper in the narthex, but people are praying for you, that they know you're in a battle, that they know that you need prayer. And so, however, we see that Paul is encouraging us to pray for our fellow warriors and encouraging us to do that. However, the second thing that Paul is encouraging the Ephesians and all us to do is that we would pray for the spiritual leaders. We see this. We see Paul asking for prayer. And he's not asking for prayer of, well, make my life better or take away my discomforts. But what does he say? He says, pray that I would have boldness in chains. He's in prison. Pray that I have boldness to speak of the gospel. And I'm a little perplexed, right? That Paul himself is asking for prayer. And I think this is important for us to hunker down on. That the man that wrote the majority of the New Testament, the man who saw Jesus on the rode to Damascus and was blinded. The man that did most of the church planting in the early church, this dude that healed people by just letting people touch his handkerchiefs, this dude is saying, I need prayer. That I can get discouraged in prison, and I need prayer from the saints to give me courage to proclaim the gospel. That's like mind-blowing to me. And so I want you to understand that we might think of holy Christians almost like Rambo. You remember the story of Rambo where he's this tough super soldier that no one can take down. And in the first Rambo movie, one of the sheriffs are like, remember, we're not hunting him. He's hunting us. And it kind of brings up this tough dude that's scary and nothing can take him down. But that's not Paul. That's no Christian. We are weak. Ephesians 2, we are dead in our sins, that we are weak. Yet if we have the Holy Spirit, He strengthens us. And so pray for your people, but pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray for Pastor Tony Stevens at Florida Baptist Church. Pray for your elders in this building, in this church. That pray for me. Do you realize what happens with every time a man like myself enters a pulpit, a man frail, a man feeble and weak, yet is still called by God to represent and espouse the glorious truths of the gospel? That I'm not amazing. I'm not great. Yet God is. God is amazing and He is great. And He is working in you the same way He is working in me. And so just as you need prayer, the elders and I definitely need prayer. Do you pray for your elders? Do you pray for them to have that they would grow in deeper and personal holiness? Do you pray in particular that God would speak boldly through courage through your elders? That we would speak freely and frankly, and that we would not be afraid of pleasing man, but be afraid and fearing God. And so Paul is encouraging you to pray for the spiritual leaders in your community. And so we looked at this beautiful epistle. We've looked at it from the beginning to the end. And this epistle reminds us of the gift of heaven, that God has given us perseverance, He's given us grace, He has given us an inheritance, and so that we ought to live in that identity, that we ought to live in our marriages that's glorifying to God, that we ought to live in our parenting that is glorifying to God, that we ought to live in our workplaces that are glorifying to God, and that we ought to put on the armor. But also, Christian, we would know the source of all these blessings, and it is the power of God. It is a power of God that has worked in this church for over 225 years. It's the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. And so, how do we apply this in our lives? How do we make this more concrete in our day-to-day actions? Well, the first is that you would set an alarm or a reminder on your phone, maybe once to twice a day, and it'd just be a reminder, just to go off and you look at it and it says, hey, you need to pray. Maybe you pray at that moment, or at least it's a reminder of, oh, I haven't prayed today. Let me commune with the God of the universe. The second thing that I want you to do is I want you to pick up a prayer bulletin and just pray for the two families every week that's on the new prayer bulletin. Just bathe those people in prayer. But the third thing I want you to do is pray for each one of your elders in this church. Pick an elder a week. Because we definitely need a whole week of prayer. And there's five elders. So every 5 weeks, you'll crack through the whole church of spiritual leaders here. And so, people of DRPC, I just want to encourage you that I'm excited to see what God is doing in us. I'm excited to see how the Holy Spirit will continue to do a good work in all of you. That I'm excited to see how the Holy Spirit is applying Christ and guaranteeing you in all things that you ought to put on the armor of God, that you ought to pray and live a life of a warrior that is called by God to love Him and to love others. May God bless the meditation of his word. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so amazing, that you are so glorious and kind, that you transcend above us, that you are so above us, yet you stoop down and you love us so tenderly, that we have a loving God. We thank you for that. We thank you for Paul's epistle in Ephesians, and we ask, dear Lord, that you would give us a grace, the Holy Spirit, to live in this way throughout the week and the weeks ahead. Come, Lord, work in your people. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.